You may have heard that the FDA has put a hold on Novavax vaccines. Let's check in with infectious disease specialist and professor at Florida International University, Dr. Eileen Marty. Dr. Marty, good morning. What's behind what the FDA announced this week?
Okay, so what happened, there's nothing wrong with the Novavax SARS-CoV-2. And that's totally approved and not a problem whatsoever. But they were running a clinical trial on two other vaccines, or actually clinical trials on two other vaccines. One of the vaccines that they were running the phase two clinical trial on, there was an individual in another country, not in the United States, who developed an unspecified neurological problem because was taking that other vaccine. It hasn't been proven that the neurologic problem that the person developed was related to the vaccine, but in an abundance of caution, they halted everything to try and figure that out, and that's where they are. And these other vaccines are for flu. One of them is for flu that they halted, and the other one that they halted is a combination of SARS-CoV-2 antigens and flu antigens to see if that could work. And it was the combination one that was the one that the person who had the reaction had experience. And so that's what's going on with that vaccine.
I get it. One of our listeners texted us a question for you. I've heard the Novavax COVID vaccine could provide longer lasting protection. Is that true?
There is nothing that would give it longer lasting protection. It's going to give you just as good protection as the messenger RNA vaccines. What the Novavax does that's different is that because it's a nanoparticle with the exact same antigen all around it, you're able to engage an earlier part of the immune system to provide you early protection. So this early part of the immune system is done by these cells called B1 cells and some B2 type of marginal zone cells. Those cells see those repetitive particles and react right away, even without developing those perfect antibodies that we need later. But that doesn't stop the Novavax vaccine from later, a few days later, instigating all the factors that are necessary to produce long-lasting immunity, just like the messenger RNA vaccines do.
All right. And learned something already this morning. Let's talk about this new study that came out recently about severe infections possibly affecting your brain in the longer term. What do you know about this?
So I think one of the things we have to do is, you know, when I was in medical school, they talked about Occam's razor and, one thing causes one thing. And we now know that that was nonsense. Most things are actually very complex and many different factors are involved in a problem. So in the case of inflammation, right, and that's why even though the study may have talked about, specific viruses like CMV and herpes and so forth, it really isn't a direct link between those viruses, and rather an interaction between what the immune system does when you have an infection, and this is a normal thing to happen, is you get something called an acute phase reaction, and that's one of the things that happens. And among the things that go up in an acute phase reaction is something called SAA, and that's SAA is serum amyloid A. It's made by your liver, and that is going to contribute to amyloid deposition, which we know is a risk for dementia, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is another reason that you want to keep healthy overall and reduce excessive immune interactions with whatever in order to not have that. But then it's even more interesting than that and more complicated because there are individuals that have certain genetic predispositions that when their bodies have to deal with these things, then they're more likely to have the problem. So everybody knows about APOE, epsilon 4, but there are other genes like P53, PSEN1, PSEN2, TRIM2, et cetera. And these are all mutations in different parts of different genes that allow or don't allow these things to interact. Like, for example, that ApoE epsilon 4, well, that's, you know, that's a major risk factor. And we know that when there's elevation of these acute phase reactants, which also includes something called C-reactive protein, that's going to be able to impact how ApoE epsilon 4 interacts and how it interacts with what we call the neuroinflammatory response. And that can exacerbate amyloid pathology. So you see, these things are intricate, and you can't blame the particular virus necessarily, but the combination of effects in a particular individual.
Sounds like another reason to get a flu shot. To me.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. There's been data for a long time showing that the flu shot doesn't just protect you from the flu. You know, there's a huge decrease in cardiovascular risk, strokes, heart attacks, etc., by taking the flu shot, right? Especially when you're talking about people our age, you're my age, right? Then it's even more important to do that, right, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and not just that. I mean, there's also incredible data that having the flu shot reduces your risk of pneumonia from strep pneumonia, a horrible bacteria that can cause pneumonia, and that's because you don't have all those opportunities by the bacteria to take over after having had a viral pneumonia.
Well, I can't wait to impress my friends today when they say, how are you? I'll say, well, you know, my epsilon 4 is a little low. Otherwise, I'm doing great. Dr. Eileen Marty, thanks. As always, we'll talk to you next Wednesday. Take care.
Thanks, Bob. Take care. Bye-bye.